Welcome to Tap Connect, the digital transformation podcast. Today's episode, we have Louise Lawson and Paul Sheridan, two experts in the field of digital transformation. Together, they will be discussing the impact of emerging technologies such as AI, no-code, low-code, and the Internet of Things on digital transformation. So join us as we explore the future of digital transformation 2023 technology trends.
Hi, Paul. So we're 4 weeks into 2023. We have had a busy schedule. We've met various companies, different sectors. I was just wondering what kind of trends that you're seeing, because we are essentially going into to more difficult times. So I was thinking, from all the sectors and meetings that you've had, what trends you're potentially seeing?
Yes, I agree. I've seen from the meetings we've had with the oil and gas industry up in Scotland to health clients in the US, this issue about actually, is it the right time to be spending? They're always struggling with a perennial issue about how do they deliver to customers, employees. And so, yeah, it is a difficult time. I mean, we're seeing at sea level, at operational level, and at a customer level, a difficulty to spend money. And it is having an impact on how business operations and DevOps are having to deal with the challenges.
I was recently, had a podcast and I was listening it to from Gartner, and it was talking about the recession from 2008 to 2009 and relating how businesses actually grew and came out of that recession and relating it to times now. And one of the areas they were talking about is companies investing in digital technology. How do you think that's going to move forward in today's times, 2022, 2023? Do you think people are going to still be investing as much as they were?
Again, I remember that recession as I did the previous one to that. And I think most organisations either see a challenge and an opportunity when there's a downturn, or they do scale back and, you know, cut stores, cut employees, cut service levels. I think the difference with this particular downturn, notwithstanding the macro environment, is that technology actually is proving to help in a disruptive way that maybe wasn't there 10 years ago. And that's evident with what we're seeing in the health service, for example, or energy companies, transportation and supply chain. Organisations that are having challenges with resources, meeting customer expectations. We're so used to dealing with apps now for our banking, our shopping, etc., etc. And organisations are either embracing this world, this change, and securing their competitive advantage, or they're not. And that is having an effect how senior managers, middle managers are making decisions.
So from a technology perspective, we're a software company operating low code, no code. Do you find that companies are now more willing to hear about low code, no code because of the essential wanting to find more talent, and that talent in our industry, software, is becoming very, very scarce. So do you think that low code, no code is becoming more prevalent?
Absolutely. Whether it's the large global analyst firms or the CEO of Microsoft, all talking about the impact that no-code and low-code platforms are having. Organisations are talking about a large market in the next few years. If our own revenues and opportunity pipeline is anything to talk about, what we're seeing is a distinct shift from not understanding what no-code and the benefits of no-code were 12, 18 months ago, to now absolutely embracing, whether you're a CTO or a CISO or a CIO, trying to get your development teams to hit the timescales that they're under pressure at. We talked about resources, especially for UK government, for example. The pool for DV cleared and security cleared software developers is very small. Phenomenal. So if those organisations that are contracted to deliver to UK government can do it with no code. That is now an option that is on the table that they're exploring and actually contracting to. It's exactly the same in the health industry. You know, we know the impact that the organisation is under, notwithstanding strikes and, you know, this time of year and so on. And so, yeah, their ability to support outpatient pathway processes with digitisation, but delivering it on a no-code platform for a tenth of the costs, in, you know, a speed of delivery that that industry and that sector is not used to, suddenly it's bringing the idea that, yeah, this is possible. And we've seen it with our own clients that are now doing more and more on the platform because they don't have the resources in-house. And absolutely, IT are involved in managing and helping manage the process. But it's just given them more agility to hit the sort of targets and timescales that they need to. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's a very positive change.
So taking this all into consideration, how is AI and especially ChatGPT, because it's exploding at the moment, affecting everything?
It's a really interesting question because, like any new form of communication that is technology driven, there are early adopters, the media companies, etc., etc., where maybe the more traditional companies maybe looking at that form of technology as something that is not for them. You're reading already that education, for example, looking at changing the way they do homework because students can, you know, use these technologies to write their essays. We've seen politicians have their speeches written by this sort of technology. But for me, it's about how are you relating that data and those that input to the workflow, business processes, because that's when it becomes powerful, because then you are looking to do all sorts of things around how you're managing data, its conversion to other forms of communication, and how does that relate to back-end databases, and how easy is it to retrieve that data? So what I find interesting right now is how the health sector, for example, is using video and audio to shrink the time and the cost of dealing with clinicians and patients. Or in supply chain, we're seeing warehouse and logistics firms using this technology to make sure of proof of delivery, managing multiple timescales with the same resources. We have logistics and warehouse organisations that are looking to improve their productivity by putting this type of technology into a sort of a no-code platform. But what I also find interesting is how, from a development standpoint, you could start to manage requirements at a different level using these technologies. So that whole validation and verification, what we call V&V, I've got input and I've got output. How am I absolutely making sure these are being delivered? As part of the life cycle, these technologies are going to vastly help that relationship between requirements and an application coming out at the back end.
So we've talked about digitalisation, low code, no code. You've mentioned work in the NHS. Where does cybersecurity sit with all of this?
Well, it's the wrapper for everything, isn't it? I mean, we are seeing the relationship between data and its misuse or non-compliance and non-governance protocols causing organisations to be hit with huge fines. There was another case in the papers recently. So the weakest link is always going to be humans. And so organisations that are looking to do assessments, understand the confidence of their organisation, or in what we're seeing is sometimes overconfidence, which is also increasing areas of risk and non-compliance, is something that I think is here to stay. So whether it's GDPR all the way through to protecting your corporate IP, the relationship between data, humans and devices is something that is just going to be an ongoing and ever-growing area of concern. Again, what we're seeing is that a lot of these organisations that would have produced written 50,000 word documents are now creating digital apps that enable to spot where risk and overconfidence is creating an issue for an organisation. So again, making data visible for C-level people to be able to do something about it. I liken it to the square peg in the round hole. If you can see that you're about to put a square peg in a round hole and do something about it before it, you're going to save so much cost and time and effort. And that's really what we're about, is helping that data become visible to the people who can do something about it, what we call actionable insight. And that's not just seeing data on a live dashboard in real time. That's also using AI to provide predictive indicators as to where the problem is and here are some options to solve it.
And that's exactly what Gartner was saying in this podcast I was listening to recently, about taking the data that we have, not overanalyzing it or collecting more data, but taking that data so everyone at a C-level can make an informed decision with the data they have and using AI.
We work with rail companies, both train operating companies and so on, and the vast array of health and safety regulations, et cetera, can almost be mind-blowing for an engineer or a senior manager. Using technology to visualise and actually create applications that allow for their engineering process to become visible. And for us, for example, we're using augmented reality related to video and audio, related to the Internet of Things, that is just providing a level of disruptive digital capability that just empowers the engineers, because they're the subject matter experts, and their feedback to continuous improvement and being able to have a platform that continually drives that improvement provides not only a better rail service for passengers, but a better employee experience, et cetera, et cetera. And the bottom line is always, does it save me money? Does it improve safety, et cetera, et cetera? So these are all areas that I think our technology space is really going to be able to help large organisations, all the way down to small and medium-sized companies, because they're often the ones that are more agile and see a competitive edge against some of the big boys. So, you know, it's a really interesting dynamic. That's why, for me, recession is always really an opportunity. And it's for those that are able to make the most of that
opportunity. Make the most of it, most definitely. So given all we've talked about, looking at trends, the meetings we've had so far, AI, cybersecurity, what advice would you potentially give companies moving through 2023?
I'm not sure it's for me to give advice, but my opinion is often that organisations are afraid to fail fast, that they have a traditional view that something is going to take 6 months. That's what it's projected to be, but it will be often 6 months longer, with a timescale and a cost that is often difficult to manage. I think what the current environment allows organisations to do is fail fast. And in doing that, they're able to improve best practice. Smaller projects, using smaller amount of people, but actually doing more. And that's what the technology trend of no-code is really driving. It's that whole message between, I've only got an existing budget, I've only got an existing resource pool, actually how can I get more out of that? And that's really what we're helping drive. And IT are beginning to embrace it now. They're beginning to realise that, you know, reputations, jobs, building CVs, all the things that we as software developers are used to doing, can now improve by embracing some of these new capabilities without actually worrying about, I'm a specialist in this particular language or a specialist in this particular framework, because these no-code platforms are able to manage all that administration for you. So you can really focus on the business output, which is really what business operations are looking for.
Yeah, they need to make informed decisions with the data they've got, and they need to make it quickly.
Yeah, absolutely.
So thanks for sharing the insights today, Paul. It's been good to catch up with you, and hopefully we will get time to do it again soon.
Yeah, I look forward to it, Lou. Thanks.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode of Tap Connect, please take a moment to rate and review us on your favourite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us create content that is tailored to your interests. And don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.